Hello, folks. Welcome to Adriana's Mystic Connections. You can also hear me on Mystic Connections Radio, and that is also on Blog Talk. And I'm on every Sunday at 9 a.m. on Adriana's Psychic Sampler, and I'm on Wednesdays at 6 p.m., and that's Hot Topics with a Dash of Spirit. So be sure to look those up. Go to my Facebook page, Mystic Connections Radio, and be sure to like my page, and that's where all my shows are. You can follow me. This is the month of gratitude. This is the month of gratitude because this is the month that we have Thanksgiving. Our major holiday is Thanksgiving. But a lot of us right now are in grief and fear. And grief and fear and anger are the opposite of gratitude. A lot of times when we're in grief, anger, or fear, we're told, well, you should be grateful. You should be feeling grateful. You know, when we lose someone, whether it's through divorce or letting someone go because they're walking a different path, or maybe they cross to the other side, we feel grief. Sometimes we feel fear. And sometimes we just feel angry because that person was in our lives and now, for whatever reason, they're not. For spiritual people, dealing with grief, anger, and fear can be difficult because those three emotions we're often told we shouldn't be feeling. If you're a spiritual person, you don't get angry, do you? Oh, you know, because anger's bad. Oh, you're a spiritual person. Well, you shouldn't be grieving. You know that everything happens for a reason and that there is no death. Don't grieve. And that's like asking someone not to be human. Because I don't care how spiritual you are. If you're human and you're breathing, you have moments of anger, grief, and fear. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of times I'll talk to clients and they'll say, you know, I know after so-and-so crossed that they're around, but they just don't send me any messages. They don't talk to me. And I'm talking to their loved one, so I know that this isn't true. I know that their loved one does love them and is sending messages. So why can't my client hear them or perceive them? And the reason is anger, grief, and fear. Being in one of the lower emotions can block you from hearing messages, from receiving information. Of anger, grief, and fear, the lowest is fear. The lowest vibration is fear. Fear is the absolute antithesis of love. So love's on the other scale, end of the scale, and we're down here with fear. And fear also blocks out normal thought. It's such a low vibration, it blocks out ability to think. It's definitely a flight or fight response in your body, and that creates cortisol. It also creates adrenaline. So you're left with this body that just wants to move, to get out, to run when you're in fear. And you have to get out of fear in order to think logically. How do you recognize when you're in fear? Sometimes it takes a minute because you're not thinking logically. Your body has taken control of your mind when you are in fear. But your mind started it. Just so you know, your mind created the illusion that there was something to be afraid of. If we can conquer fear among all the other things, we can lift ourselves up so high. And it's not about not having fear, because we all have fear. It's about understanding what fear is and about making the differences that we need to in our lives to conquer it and move past it. So, when you are in fear, you are blocking all the input from your crown chakra. You are deep into your root chakra. If you were to look at your aura while you were in fear, you would see red, orange, and yellow. That's what you would see. You would not see blue and green. You certainly wouldn't see violet. Fear paralyzes us. Fear is what makes us indecisive. There's people who say they fear God. I always counter with, I love God. You can be a God-fearing person. That's fine. I'm a God-loving person. You cannot be in the love vibration and the fear vibration at the same time. So a good way to get out of the fear vibration is to start thinking about something you love or somebody you love, or start sending love. When you are under psychic attack, and psychic attack can cause fear, turn around, send that person love. Whomever is attacking you, send them love. It's like a fabulous way to get out of that fear vibration. And it's the strongest, most powerful thing you can do when you're under psychic attack. Send the other person love immediately. When you're around someone who is in fear, move them into the love vibration. When it's you yourself who is in fear, We all have those moments. Love is the answer. Another thing that you can do, because this is your body reacting in fear, is to change your body's reality. So meditating is a great way to move yourself out of fear. But meditating can be very hard when you're that frightened, when you're in fear. It can be very hard. So here's a quick trick, and it's breathing. You just want to breathe, and as you breathe, you want to count. So you want to count three numbers in a row, 7, 8, 9, and then two numbers that are not, 6, 12. 7, 8, 9, 6, 12. Your brain has to change to remember that all the numbers aren't in a row. 4, 5, 6, 9, 11. 4, 5, 6, 9, 11. 2, 3, 4, 76. And just doing that one little thing, it takes you out of that flight or fight response and moves you back into the reality of now. Meditating can do the same thing. Fear is an auto response from our body, but fear truly doesn't help us. It's good to be afraid of something, like afraid of playing in traffic. That's a true statement. But when you're playing in traffic, being in fear is not what's needed. What's needed is getting you off the road and back on the sidewalk where you can play and be safe. So when dealing with fear, react with love. When dealing with your body with fear, do things such as counting out of order, meditating, finding something to love that will pull you out of that vibration. Okay? And understand that fear is there for a reason. Just like hunger, our body has hunger. We need water. We need to breathe air. But just as we can feel an emotion, we don't have to live in that emotion. We have control over our bodies. We're able, to some extent, control emotions. Now, I tend to get emotions like that in waves. And being an empath, I will pick up other people's emotions. So I'm like, why am I so afraid? Why am I so afraid? And then I'll find out later that something horrible is happening or going to happen, or that somebody was afraid that something horrible was going to happen. But fear, have you ever noticed that when you're in a really stressful situation that you're not afraid, that you're dealing with the situation, and then afterwards you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe it happened. Then you feel all these emotions, including fear of what could have happened. But at that moment, you're dealing with the situation. So you're not in that fear because your body and your mind are completely engaged in getting you out. Have you ever noticed that? Afterwards, looking at it, it seems surreal. So fear is natural, and there's nothing to be ashamed about it, but fear is not a helpful emotion. And when you find yourself in fear, use the strategies we just talked about to get you out. Grief. Good grief. Grief is the feeling of loss. We had something and now we don't. And it's part of the emotions that we go through when we lost something. And that's losing someone that something ending in our lives, such as a job. Or a marriage, or a romance, or a relationship, the loss of a pet. Grief is very selfish. It's a selfish emotion. And it's okay to be selfish. It's okay to have time for you. You know, when my dad passed, I was not in the same state that he was. I didn't get to run over and see him one last time. I didn't get to spend any time with him before. I just found out that he passed with a phone call. And it was just me and my brother, really. And I called my brother, and he did not have a good relationship with my father. So my mom was still alive, and I informed my mom, but she didn't want to have anything to do with him. And she had no reason to be sad about him passing. She just didn't want to go there emotionally. And I went over to my brother's house a few days later, and I was surprised when he pulled out an album of photos and showed me a few photos and showed me a few things that he had from Dad. And I was pleased because that was the only memorial that I attended for my father. And I wish I'd known, because I would have brought a few photographs over to my brother's. I should have thought that, but it was a nice thing. Grief is not a helpful emotion. Grief is about loss. We've lost something, and it's not there anymore. And we're trying to cope with the fact that it's gone. Because we keep looking for it. Because it used to be there. You know, when you lose an animal, it can be very devastating. Animals can be part of our family. And I will find myself having to remind myself that this animal's gone. Oh, there's my Frankie. Nope, Frankie's not here anymore, yeah. And then sometimes I'll catch glimpses of Frankie, too, which reminds me that even though Frankie's gone, he's still there in spirit. Remember that grief is, of course, natural. Anyone who tells you that you shouldn't be in grief is not understanding that you're human, because you are going to be going through these emotions. And I don't care if you're the most elevated person, you know, if you're ascended, there's times when you will be in grief because of a loss. So understanding that you're going through a process, allowing yourself to cry if you need to cry. And I've talked about this before, you know, there's no need to cry. Sometimes we don't want to cry, and then we feel guilty because we're not crying. What kind of person am I that I'm not crying? You know what? You're a person who's coping well at the moment. Give yourself a good pat on the back. There is no shouldas. I used to have this wonderful psychologist who said, quit shoulding on yourself. Quit saying should. No shoulding on yourself, because it's shaming behavior. I should have. Well, okay, but you could have. And when you change that word to could, then it does change. It changes the environment. It changes your reality. And when you say could instead of should, then things will pop up. Oh, I could do this. Or I could do that. Allow yourself to be as much as possible free of shame, especially when it comes to grief. Especially when it comes to grief. And we'll talk about anger in a minute. Let's take a phone call. Area code 720, thank you so much. Thank you for being patient.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Great. What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Griselda, and I'm calling from Denver.
Hi, Griselda. Thank you for calling in. And how do you deal with anger, grief, and fear?
Oh, I have challenged all of that within the last year. You know, actually within the last 30 to 45 days, I have challenged both anger. You just have to, for me, I just let it go. I've learned to just let it go. You know what I mean? Don't harvest that. You know what I'm saying? Just let it go when it comes to anger, even when other people are angry. You know, just try to stay positive and upbeat about it. You know what I mean? Just try to redirect that energy some other type of way. Now, as far
you know,
as fear,
because right mm-hmm. now there's so much anger. There's
mm-hmm.
anger in our media. There's anger everywhere. And how do you deal with fear?
And how do I deal with fear is with gratitude. I try to, instead of this heart, which is, this is new and I'm learning this as well, but instead of holding fear, because fear can, when you fear something, I mean, it can, especially when you're constantly thinking about it over and over and over again in your head, you're putting those thoughts out there, you're creating, you know, that emotion, you know what I'm saying? You're causing it to extend when it comes to fear. So the best way to handle fear is
you are
to
so deflect. Right.
Yes, yes. So the best way I think to deal with fear is to look at the positive side of fear. You know, be thankful of whatever it is, you know, that's causing that fear. You know what I mean? If the situation is just like for me, like I said, the last 30, 45 days I've been going through it. You know what I mean? But I've just been positive on my thoughts. And then part of fear is not knowing what to expect. You know what I mean? Because you don't know what to expect, which is why you stand on faith and know that everything will work out according to His plan. It's God's timing. You know what I mean? And if you know God, then therefore you have no fear, because God is
love.
Exactly. He is love. Exactly. So just reiterate that and just know that if you got God, then there's no fear. Ain't nothing to fear. God got you. Everything's happened within God's timing. You know what I mean? So
when you're afraid
just
of something,
show God. Mm-hmm.
When you're afraid of something, I found out that you draw it to you.
Yes.
So be not afraid. And did you have a question today?
Yes, I did. Yes, my question is, like I said, I've been going through it the last 30, 45 days.
Something
I just
about loss and separation.
Tell
something
you
about
loss
separation.
And
yeah.
Yes, I have had. I have lost my sister. I lost my kid's father, and I lost my grandmother.
So sorry.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. But this is a transition of life. We all go through this. So it's all about looking into the gratitude of that, those moments, the times we share.
Now,
the reason.
I felt your grandmother coming in,
and yes.
she wants you to know that everything's going to be okay. First of all, she wants you to know that everything's going to be okay. But for some reason, she wants you to protect yourself because it's almost like she's telling you, it's so weird, she's salting the ground. And to me, that means that she's trying to prevent something from rising up again. Salting the ground. That is a weird thing. Because, you know.
She's salting. She's doing what?
Yeah,
salting?
She's putting salt in the ground. On the ground. She's salting the ground.
That's protection.
That's protection. You're right. And she's showing me a wasteland around you, like you're standing in the middle of a battleground and, you know, the battle's over, but you're looking at the waste of what's left of the battle, you know? And she wants you to pick yourself up, and she's asking you to move forward. Okay, and she's not saying she wants you to physically move. She just wants you to move forward.
Move forward.
She's saying everything that you see around you, and I'm looking around these smoking ruins. Smoking ruins. She's saying this is something that you needed to create because you needed to be free. And it's going to be rough for a while. It's going to be hard. Okay, and she wants, now you still have your mother, right? Because she wants you to talk to your mother and spend time with your mother.
Okay.
And do you have another sister?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I have two other sisters. That's what.
She's connecting you with your sisters. And she said, she's like reaching out their hands and grabbing them and putting their hands to your hands. And she said, as you walk through, have no fear. The angels are with you and your family. And it seems like you're also doing the shoulda, woulda, coulda dance. You know, that I wish I could do this or I should have done that. Or looking back and saying, if only, you know, I had done. And she said, it's just, it's no use, honey. You know, don't do that to yourself. It's just. And she's showing me a lemon. I guess she's talking about making lemonade from lemon juice, you know, from lemons. Because she's showing me a lemon. And are you, do you practice Eastern religious cultures? Because she's showing me like Buddhist or Hindu gods.
It's funny that you said that because I've been attracted to the Buddhist head. It looks like I've been attracted to them. I've been picking up art on them.
That's what
you know,
I was
pictures.
Seeing, like Buddhist head. Yes.
Yes, I've been picking up art pieces and pictures for some reason, and I've been thinking about. Because I do have I've been thinking about also, well, retuning myself back up to Reiki and start dealing with yoga and chakras and, you know, just getting back into healing. That's what I've been trying to get back to. Learning Hindu, because, you know, the chakra, you understand where I'm coming from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Aura, chakra.
Exactly.
So much of that comes from Hindu culture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Astrology. Yep. So I have been trying to get organized and to get my studies back to on the chakras and the healing of the body. Yes. Yes.
She's happy. Your grandmother. She's very happy. And she's with another man. I believe he's your grandfather. But she is content, and she's traveling. She has like a little bundle on a stick, so she's going on an adventure or a journey. And she's got nothing holding her back, so she gets to travel now. But she wants you to know she's going to be around you a lot and not to worry so much. And she wants you to talk to your mother because your mother really needs a lot of love right now.
Okay.
Like such depression. And depression is anger. And we didn't talk about anger, but we will shortly. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Be blessed and... Thank you for sharing your journey.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Hugs and kisses to you. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we've talked about grief and we've talked about fear. Now let's talk about anger. Anger is a gift. Anger is motivation. Grief is paralyzing. Grief is that flight or flight. Oh, my God, all we can do is sit there and go, oh, no, what if the sky is falling? You know, anger is the sky's going to fall. I better get out there and do something about the fact the sky's going to fall, dang it. Anger is motivating. I tried to collapse two words there. It makes an environment where you can make changes. So fear is paralyzing. Grief is so many different emotions wrapped up into one. And it's about loss, it's about suffering, and in its own way, it can be paralyzing. But anger is a gift. Because anger gives us the strength to do something about the situation that we don't like. Now, there are very many people in the world who will tell you that you should not, they're shitting on you, see, you should not feel anger. Anger is not one of the high emotions. As an ascended person, do not allow yourself to be angry. I will tell you something. Anger is one of the things that has allowed me to move forward on my path. It's a motivational tool. The problem with anger is it's like a fire, and fire can be very good. Fire can cook our meals and warm our homes and ward off enemies, but it can also turn into wildfire. And once you have opened up that box of anger, it can be very hard to control it. Particularly if you have Leo emotions like I do. So remember that anger is a gift, but you have to channel anger. You can't just let it flow out and burn everyone around you. What it means to be angry is to say, I'm not going to take this anymore. I am not going to put up with this situation any longer. I'm angry, and I'm going to do something about it. Now, when you're angry and you don't do something about it, that's when anger turns into depression. And depression is anger turned inward. Anger is a gift. You don't have to give that particular gift to anyone else. You know, I asked my guys, when is it appropriate to be angry with someone else? And guess what they said? I bet you can guess. They said, never. It is never appropriate to be angry with anyone else. I know that righteous anger that, you know, I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. Well, you know what? I don't know about you, but I need all of my mind. So be grateful for anger. Be grateful for that motivating force. Take a look at it. What is it that you're angry about? Because what angry is it's allowing you, giving yourself permission to change the situation. I'm angry about this means I want to change this. And then, how are you going to change it? What is it that you're going to do to make that change? There's lots of people who are angry right now that Trump is president. They feel that they, popular vote, elected Clinton. They're afraid. They're in fear of what's going to happen now that Trump's president. My guys are not. My guys are not afraid. I did vote for Clinton. I don't know. Many people voted for Trump. But my guys are not afraid. They think that what's happening right now is in divine right order and that everyone should just be calm. But I recognize and understand that anger that has people out there protesting, that has people walking and yelling and holding up signs. And you know what? It's a healthy thing. It's a good thing. And it's good that we in this society have the privilege to protest things that we don't like. And think of all the health benefits of all that walking. On the other hand, it's not okay to hurt someone while you're protesting. It's not okay to block traffic. It's definitely not okay to burn anything, spray graffiti on stuff. No. You know, that's turning ourselves into that which we fear, that which we're afraid of. That's expressing our anger and outrage in a very negative way. We should never do that. When is it appropriate to express anger to somebody else? Okay. You can express your anger, which is anger means request for change. But do it in a positive manner. We're positive people. When we get really angry, when we get so angry that we actually see red, that is because anger lives in our root chakra. We actually see red. And sometimes I know for sure that when I'm in the middle of anger, the depth of anger, that I step out of my body. Because later on, I'll say, what did I do? What did I say? Because there's pieces that are missing, that I'm so angry, I can't remember part of what I did. We do the worst things in humanity when we are angry. We kill each other. We say and do things that we can't go back. So anger can be motivating. I keep choosing to make that word. But anger, like fire, needs to be controlled. When is it appropriate to be angry at someone? Never. Area code 831. Hi, thanks for being patient. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Lisa and I'm from Monterey. And
hi.
Am I talking
about you out here in California?
Well, I had a very in-depth talk about those political views and how to handle it, and I found it was actually very relieving. I'm one of maybe two people in the room that had the same opinion, where everybody else was sort of against our opinion, but we had very intelligent, calm, intellectual discussions about the circumstances. And I come from a military family, raised military, and to hear people, younger people, I mean 20, 30 years younger than me, express their frustration and why can't we change this? And I'm looking around going, as a mom, you're throwing a tantrum. You're throwing a tantrum. This was, you trusted into the system of an electrical vote, okay?
Yeah.
And after we got over all this naysaying, we had beautiful conversations. And I actually feel closer to a lot of these people that I've known, but now I understand where their line of thought goes. And
yeah.
I found that actually took away. You do? Okay, okay. But the anger part,
you know,
I'm totally with you. It's a motivator.
It's been interesting because I think we're having dialogue that we as a country have not had in a long time to understand why this happened. And part of this process is like peeling back onions and seeing the layers of an onion and seeing that the pain is there.
Right. I agree. It did take away from my study time, and I'm a little angst. I'm like, okay, I know this stuff. I haven't regurgitated my information all that much. It's been a hell of a week. My son is special needs, ADD. The school didn't accommodate him. I've been fighting with the school system. My husband was out of town, and I got food poisoning. I was like, okay, enough.
Oh, no.
So I'm really calling because I need confirmation. I need some kind of spiritual knowledge that I am not hearing on my end, because I'm usually pretty grounded with my guides and my angels. This test that I'm taking today and tomorrow, how's it going to go? I don't know if I know enough of it to regurgitate it.
Regurgitate it. Write everything down.
Well,
write
I've got
everything
like,
down and then take a look at where your gaps are. And then write everything down twice, two, three times today before you go take your test. Say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. And it's going to go fine. Hey, do you have is there a child in your family who's on the other side?
I've miscarried, and I've
okay,
wanted
Okay, because I think I'm talking
child.
to your child on the other side, because your child said, it'll be fine, Mama.
Oh,
it's going to be fine, Mama.
Oh, fabulous.
You know, write everything down, okay?
Okay.
And you know what? Writing everything down is going to be calming, because you're going to see, look at all this knowledge that I have.
Yeah.
You studied really hard. You've gotten to this wonderful Whew. Point.
Well, it's nursing.
It'll be good.
So we're always in school.
Mm-hmm.
We're always in school.
You know, anger is so motivating. And anger sometimes is the only thing that can get us moving. And I am looking at these people who are protesting, and I have not ever seen protests like this, ever. And I am amazed
neither.
By them. And I am also and especially the young people, I'm like, I'm so glad that you're so interested in the political
My son
world.
Is 14 is. Actually, I was very disappointed that the school would not allow the students to have to
yes,
say
because the school
they...
is afraid.
It doesn't have to. It's our job as mentors to teach these young children to negotiate conversation, not because they're fair, you know, show them what a debate is. Let them have, like, one side of the quad and the other side of the quad. But I grew up in an era, I'm in my late 50s, and even though I want another child, my husband and I are talking about adopting and or surrogate. And I think to myself, when we grew up, I actually was shot at Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco when I was 4.5 years old.
Holy cow.
I can say I can remember that. I remember the protest when my father came back from Vietnam and he was, things were thrown at him at the airport at San Francisco. I remember, you know, this, and I just sort of feel, since it's a year nine, I'm into numbers, this is a year nine and half, that everything's coming to a head. Like, the volcano is erupting. And but we're not teaching these young children how to deal with their emotions. How no coping. There's no coping mechanisms.
Right, and we need coping.
We do.
Yeah, you know what, I'm almost out of time, but, you know, thank you so much for calling in, and I completely agree with you that we need coping mechanisms. And I have to say that although, of course, I did not vote for Trump, I'm surprised by what I see. I'm surprised by someone who is making strides to heal the community and who is trying to make some changes. And, you know, he's taken some significant things down from his website, and he seems to be working in a conciliatory manner. I think that we as a people have a voice. We have a loud voice, and it's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to make it change or because going out there and being violent is not going to help anyone. We have to go out there and be smart. Talk things through, like you said, and have coping mechanisms. So, great comment. Great comment. Okay, well, I am so grateful. We didn't get to talk very much about grateful or gratitude this time around, but thank you so much, everyone. Have a blessed and beautiful Thanksgiving. Be grateful for what you have. And next month will be my very last show on this network. And I am so grateful for this network and for what it has brought into my life. So thank you all for tuning in. Have a blessed, beautiful day.